AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. A camel surname. Hello and welcome to the Fighting Cock Podcast, episode 52, season 13. Ricky's drinking out of a Fighting Cock mug. I just saw Bardi's face on the side of that mug go up when he was having a little drinky poos there.
Yeah.
What's in there, scotch?
No, it's just a black coffee. I hadn't realised that I had picked up the Fighting Cock mug. But if you remember, my mum kindly printed these mugs for me for maybe it's a birthday or something like that. And the font that she kept using was too dark and you couldn't read it. So yeah. I had like 3 or 4 Fighting Cock mugs that I gave out to you guys. But this is for patrons only. You can actually see this. Look at that.
Yeah, that's what yeah,
me and Hardy.
Make it.
That's yeah. what I'm paying for.
Yeah, exactly. So
I still use mine.
Drinking out your faces.
I threw it.
Good.
Exactly. I threw mine away.
That's did you really?
Of course I didn't. It's somewhere. this is a special day today because Tottenham Hotspur are the richest club in London, according to Deloitte. We make
yeah.
shit
yeah,
loads
we
of money. Make shit loads of money. Put that in your trophy cabinet.
Is that just match day revenue? Because I haven't had a deep dive into the article.
No, it's the annual revenue, the amount we generated in the last 12 months. Well, actually, not last 12 months, 22 to 23. So that
it's
was
financial year.
I was talking to Ricky. That included included Champions League, didn't it? We played in Champions League.
Yeah, it did.
So that will be a massive part of it. And Arsenal are going to generate that. So they'll probably have another 80, 90 million to add to their revenues. But generally, financially, the wealth of Tottenham Hotspur has never been more secure than it is right now. Whether that translates to us bringing in players is another question, but the signs thus far look good. A total of £35 million. You shared this that chart earlier, didn't you, T?
I did, but it's just headlines, just a headline view of it, because I think Chelsea are a bit concerned because obviously they need a new stadium. I don't believe they own their stadium. And obviously we own our stadium. We've got concerts and other shit bringing in revenue. So
they own the stadium, they don't own the pitch.
That's it, yeah. There's one or the other. So,
and they can't build in Chelsea because of planning permissions, and it's a built-up area, so they can't make the stadium any bigger. They can't move the pitch because the Chelsea, I think they're called the Chelsea Lawn Association, a group of fans own the football pitch. And I think, someone correct me if I'm wrong, it stems back to when they nearly went bankrupt, if I remember
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so it bought it for £4. And
that's right.
I reckon Bowley's going to try and muscle the Lawn Association, whatever the fuck they're called, and buy the pitch and fuck them over.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, that's probably in terms of the betterment of their their football club and whether or not it's best to compete on a financial level, that's what they have to do. Does it fit well with the, you know, what football should be about? And it should be about the fans having control to some degree. But that ship has long since sailed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Come on,
Tottenham. The chart I was mentioning that you were talking about, that you shared earlier, T, was the amount spent in the last January window compared to this one.
Oh, that's spooky, sent that one, yeah.
Right, well, what was it? So it was £35 million spent in this January transfer window thus far compared to what was an obscene amount last January transfer. Of that, yeah. Spurs are the only player to team to bring in a player of note. And it looks like, if you believe the ITK, and the guy who broke this has a decent track record, actually, that Antonio Nusa is going to be a Spurs player. They're just having a conversation of whether or not he'll come now in January or he'll come in the summer. The reports are that he wants to stay with Club Bruges and continue his development. If it seems, if that is even a conversation, that we want to bring him in January. People are very excited about it. That would be, if it's 30 million euros, that would be something like 50, nearly 60 million pounds spent.
It's a steal, and I think we've only got a very small window in which to buy him, because I'd imagine in the summer it might be a bit more difficult for us to get it done. So the signs are good.
You say that, but we're a bit fucking massive now. We've got all the money. Maybe it'd be difficult for them. Maybe it'd be difficult for fucking Chelsea to try and buy him. Why is it always difficult for Spurs? We're the one who knocks now. Now it's difficult for you lot, because we're
His family can dry their tears on the king's face, mate. We're minted.
We're minted. We've got so much money, which means we can do what we want. We're above the law. I'm going to Disneyland.
Buy yourself something nice.
Yeah. Just tell Noosa's mum to put on the red panties. Big. That doesn't work at all. Doesn't work well. Trying to do Conor McGregor, and that doesn't work at all. Shouldn't have gone there.
Just buy yourself something nice.
I got excited.
Buy a frock.
Yeah, buy yourself a frock. No, I mean, we did a chat on the lab about it. We talked to Kish from At Lily White Lab. You haven't listened to that already. It's a 25-minute discussion on why Nusa is the real deal. Yeah, it's mad. It's good. It's exciting.
Would you want him to come now, or would you be okay with him staying out in Bruges?
Luckily, my opinion doesn't mean fuck all, because I've never seen him play. So I would say it makes sense to me, looking at what happened with Adoghi, to just send him back, make him comfortable. Don't worry about this year. We've got Werner in. Like, we've got Brian Hill there if we have to. I think if that's what he wants, and that encourages the deal to get done, come in the summer, be a part of that, whatever the summer looks like for Spurs. And and then kick on from there. Like, in your head, we're in this transitional phase, but because we're playing such good football and we've got Postecoglou and whatnot, it doesn't really feel as transitional as it did, I don't know, when things were going shit. We talked about this before. It's only transitional if things are going bad. If it's good, you're not in transition, are you? If things are going really well, you're not in transition. But
no, I think.
What do you think the summer looks like to you?
God, I mean,
are we going big? Do we need to?
We might not. We might not have to do much in the summer now, because the summer gone. We bought great players who are starting now. In the winter window, I mean, maybe Dragosin and Werner won't start loads of games, but they're capable of starting games. I think in the summer it'll just be a supplementary window. It is just kind of bulking out the squad. Maybe a big name, maybe a big dog striker, but I don't think we need to be really pushing the boat out, because you've got a bunch of players that have been together for a long time, well, for a fair period of time. You know, they've all settled in. So I think some will just be a case of getting rid of the deadwood in the squad, backing them up with quality players, and I don't know, maybe there might be one. I'm going to just be one big signer, not loads.
Evan Ferguson? Brighton?
How many goals has he scored?
He's 19 years old. And he has scored, last time I checked, he one in two. So he's got 20 and 40 appearances. But I haven't seen him since. I don't know if he's playing well or not. I don't know. It's just a name for it. Chuck it out there. Just quickly to go back to the Deloitte money. It's not helpful, is it? Just chucking names out there, aren't I? Osterman, Tony, do what you want with the names. The Deloitte money list is as follows in terms of top 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. Right. Arsenal are 10th on 532. Chelsea, 589. Spurs, 631.5 million euros. Just marginally behind Liverpool. 40 million pounds behind Liverpool. 682. Then it goes Bayern Munich, United, Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain, all around 800 million. Manchester City, which I still to this day, I don't accept that they were, before Real Madrid published their accounts, the richest club in the world in terms of revenue generated. 825 million.
I'm like that with PSG as well.
Yeah, and same. Like, and I don't. I want.
No, like, you know, like, mate.
You're sounding
on,
a bit racist. I'm not. I'm just agreeing with what you're saying.
What?
You're saying it's because of the Arab money. That's what you're saying, that they're cooking their books. You can't be trusted.
No, that PSG have never been like a massive club.
All right,
really?
That's what I'm saying as well. They it's in the 70s. They were created in the 70s, so not been a massive club. They've only been alive for fucking 50 years.
Wankers. Exactly. Crazy. So what, Manchester, I don't get how they're big.
It's like Manchester City just went, we've got to put down a number. 825 million? Yeah, sounds all right. Go on and just write it down. Nothing will happen.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen. We don't have to worry about Man City, because if they get all these charges come through, fucking gone.
Imagine.
Gone. It'd be great. On. Just fucking gone. Just fuck off, Man City. Just get out. Like, I put a tweet out. I don't know how you feel about this, but beating Man City, for me, feels a bit like beating Fulham at home. Like, I don't respect Manchester City enough to really feel amazing when we beat them. All right, they're a good team, but it's plastic. It's not real, right? So I don't really feel anything. It's the same way that I can't hate Chelsea anywhere near as much as I hate Arsenal, because they're not real. It's not a real club. All their fans aren't real, are they? I mean, they exist. They have a heart and lungs and all that shit. But anyone who started following Chelsea in the last 20 years isn't real. It's not, his opinion isn't worth listening to. Her opinion isn't worth listening to.
Yeah, their totally. Opinion. Like with Chelsea and City, they're trophy wins feel a bit more, they're a bit hollow, because it's done with like the money that they're just ploughing into the clubs and from their owners, and it's not done in that kind of organic way. And plus we've never really had like a rivalry with City. People up north, I don't really give a shit about, if I'm honest, man. And it's all about the London rivalries for me. And even again, like I just said with Chelsea and them buying their trophies, I wouldn't say it's on par with Tottenham v Fulham, but I would say that it's considerably less that I feel like if it's Tottenham Arsenal and even like Tottenham West Ham.
It's just nothing to me. It's like, who are we playing on Friday? Man City. Oh, well, that's a shame. They're good because they cheated, so that's a bit of a shame. That's it. That's my acknowledgement of Manchester City. It's a bit of a pain in the ass because they are good because they cheated. But that's it. That's all the level.
The only good thing about these clubs is that they regularly batter Arsenal. So that's the joy that they bring me. I mean, I like the I enjoyed the Drogba era of Chelsea smashing Arsenal. That was good fun.
I know what you mean.
At that time, I mean, Spurs weren't really doing it. So seeing Chelsea go to their patch and smash them up, that was that's good fun. But no, Chelsea, I don't think about them at all. When I see their kit on the streets, I think nothing. I mean, I live in Northwest London, so I see a fair few of them. I don't feel anything. When I see the Arsenal kit, my hackles are up straight away. I just want that person to die on the spot. You know, just feel, they just make me feel sick. When the fixtures are out, I look at the Arsenal fixtures. Chelsea is an afterthought. I mean, we're playing Chelsea next month. That's been moved because of the League Cup final. Don't even care.
Don't care, no.
It might be moved into the, fucking Murderers Row in April. Don't even care. Don't care if it's a midweek game between those games.
Yeah, I don't care if they move it out of football and it never happens again. We never play them again.
Exactly. It's not even a fixture we care about. I mean, if Chelsea got put into League Two, I'm not losing anything as a fixture.
No, it would be a right ammunition to take the piss out of their fans if you happen to speak to one. That's about as much as it would mean.
Totally.
I love that. So Chelsea's entire existence, they're in an existential crisis. It could be the end of their football club. Their little lives are ruined. But to us, it would just be a bit of ammunition to give them a dig down the pub.
Exactly. That's all it is.
Because they're a nothing plastic football club. It is the Q&A podcast, and it's Thursday, which means we'll talk about whatever questions you send in, as always. But before we do that, Ricky, you've got an announcement to make.
Yeah, I do indeed. So there's a new podcast coming out. Well, it's already out. Another one. Yeah. Another one. Oh, not again. Yeah, a new podcast called Lads Anonymous, hosted by myself, and Flav is joining me on this pod. The premise of the pod is we're going to have a main theme subject which is chosen by you lads.
Yeah.
And we're just going to discuss it and have a laugh of it, really. And then after that, we'll do a bit of like a Q&A where you send in your dilemmas, issues, any advice that you need, and we'll be the guys to answer it. And it's like going to be half hour, 45 minutes, and just a little slice of a little ray of light to take you away from the noise outside. Just a bit of laughter.
I listened back to the first episode, and it sounds like two men in a midlife crisis hankering after yesteryear.
That's exactly what it is, really.
Honestly, as soon as I listened to it, I was like, oh, I'm gonna get a cab to London. Just gonna get a cab to London and call up my old dealer. that was my reaction. I was like, God, I want to be here. Get me home. Get me back to London. But the people's reaction to the first episode has been fantastic, hasn't it? And you can go, what was it, number 17 in the charts in Spotify?
Number 17 in the Apple comedy charts. And if you go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, type in Lads Anonymous, give us a follow, subscribe, and if you want to follow the social accounts, Lads Anon Pod, and that's on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. So come and join us for the adventure.
Good. Yeah, it's good. When's the next one out? Monday.
Yeah.
Sam Cornish is curious to know what noise you'll make if Madison's in the starting 11 against Man City tomorrow night. That's about to be mine. That's it. Madison back. He's got his boots on. Because there was this picture earlier on in the week, wasn't there, with him on getting rested up, and he looked like he had some sort of pressurized boot on.
I saw that.
Get that off, because that don't look good. Take that off right now. Why are you videoing a picture with you that on? Or is it all up there? Mind games.
Yeah, mind games. Yeah.
Mindies. mate, it'll be amazing. 3 months he's been out with that fucking injury. Longest ever injury in his entire career. Plays 10 games for Spurs. 10 games he's played for Spurs. Flying. And then he gets an ankle injury. And it's the longest he's been out in his entire career. Because he has a kind of reputation for being a bit injury prone, doesn't he? But yeah, we've been very unlucky. And to have him back, wow, what a player. Are you excited about his return, T?
Oh, over the moon, mate. I think I saw this graphic about the top goal involvements. I don't know if it's in Europe or in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And he's still top five, even though he's missed the last 3 months. Just a transformative player. We haven't had a player like that in a very long time. Someone who joins Spurs, gets it, and just, you know, backs it up with performances. He makes everyone around him better. And I know this isn't, we're probably going to get a question about this anyway, but you do wonder if Brendan Johnson might improve a bit if Maddison sees his runs a bit earlier. So that just shows the impact that his return could have. So be over the moon if he returns on Friday.
It's interesting because Maddison's return will mean that we probably won't see a lot of Johnson if the injuries stay off. There won't be an issue. And having
not starting anyway, no.
Yeah, having him off the bench might actually serve and give him a bit of an opportunity, fresh legs. He's about to go out there and influence the game. Better than doing that from the starting position if you're struggling, which he is to some degree. Yeah. And having Maddison around him, it's just like everyone, he's going to elevate everyone's performances. It's not like we haven't been playing well already, but that's what he's going to bring. His vision, his guile, his ball-carrying ability, but his ability to knit the tactic together. Like, we've done well without him, we really have. And like, hats off to all of them, Kulusevski especially, who's had to change positions, come inside, play brilliant on the wing as well. He's if it wasn't Kulusevski, we would have had a much worse 3 months than we had.
Yeah.
But now he's back, and you mentioned,
I think as well, like his because he's like one of the vice captains, and he really kind of took to that responsibility. And I can't remember what game it was, but the players were lining up when he was out injured. And he greeted all of them before lineup and wished them good luck. And it's just having him around in the changing room, able to affect stuff on the pitch, ready to kind of G other players up. It's massive to the players and the squad to having him around. Then also on top of that, all the, you know, footballing abilities that you've just mentioned. Personally, it's, oh man, like, I am desperate. I am fucking desperate to see him back in the starting 11. And it's just, I just feel like it's, we're all waiting for him to kind of take center stage and everything will go back to the way we started the season. And I'm just, I feel like maybe I need to temper my excitement, because when Bentancur come back, he was still a little bit rusty, and yeah, we're gonna obviously have to expect that. So maybe I am thinking, coming off the bench, like you just mentioned, instead of starting the game, and just to see how things play out. Because I feel like if we're the home team, under the lights, at the Lane, FA Cup game, big atmosphere, I think it's going to be enough for us and the players that are playing to be able to either get a result or hold out for a result until like 65 minutes, until Madders then comes on and tries to change the game if needed at all. But I wouldn't want to, as much as I'm desperate to, I wouldn't want to rush him back just for the game.
Definitely
on the bench.
It's just the overall feeling that he's coming back is what I'm excited about. And you're right, don't rush him back. Like, it's, the FA Cup's massively important, but having Maddison back for the rest of the season and not risking injury is even more so to some degree, because I dream of, it actually brings a tear to my eye, the fact that I'm going to see Maddison, Bentancur and Son play together. All in their full pomp. It's like, proud of your kids coming home with A stars. It's like, I'm gonna watch them play. I'm gonna watch them play again. Like, just that was an amazing insane feeling. Like, this first 11 sounds. How does it sound to you, boys? How does it sound to you? Right, fucking Vicario, fucking fucking Porro, Adobe, Van de Ven and Romero. Right, Dragson on the bench just in case. Right, and then in midfield. I don't even know what our best midfield is, but I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say Bentancur, Saar, Maddison. Or Basuma, Bentancur, Maddison. Or, if you want, just chuck Kulu in there for a little bit. Lo Celso, are you looking? Yep. Maddison, you're looking a bit leggy, are you? Get on, Giovanni. Get on, he's tired. Go and play a bit. Go and play a bit. Werner on the left. But Heung-min Son on the left. And, you know, the greatest number nine we've ever had, Richarlison.
Yep, the GOAT.
And, of course, Kulusevski on the right. That is a first 11 that could win a league. I'm not going to say anything negative, because Richarlison, he's playing well. He's playing really good.
Got Johnson in there as well.
Johnson's not as fucking there, is he? Johnson's on the bench. Come on. He's got a lot. He's raw and he's going to be fine, I'm sure, I hope.
Positivity ends here. Yeah, you've said his name.
You mentioned that little preview present prick again. No, he was he's in a poor bit of form, but you know, there's a reason why we bought him, surely.
Yeah.
Got a question here, say, from someone on Reddit, and it says, it's sliding curb keys. He says, Saar and Basuma are set to play each other in the AFCON knockouts. Who would you prefer comes home early? Basuma's still banned, isn't he?
Or is he? No, his ban's over.
Okay.
He'd be available.
I think I agree with you, Saar, probably. Just because he's been playing better.
Yeah. I'd say so. I think it's just the energy that Saar gives as well. And it's not to say that I think Saar's necessarily a better footballer than Basuma. Basuma, I think he can easily regain the early season form that we fell in love with him for. But I just love Saar's energy. But the likely scenario is that Marley will go out and we'll have Basuma. I think he'd be available for the game against Brighton on February 10th. So,
what? He'd have the player back. If he gets nicked out? If he gets kicked out?
Yeah. So that's the week after next.
Is that when they're playing?
Potentially playing. I don't think they've drawn. I think the group stage is still going. And I think it's in the quarters that they meet. I might have that wrong. So I think it'd be the Brighton game he'd be available for.
Fair enough for this, AFCON. Fair enough of it now. Just give us our players back, for fuck's sake.
Bring our boys home.
Anyone else had enough of it? I've had enough of it now. And the Asian Games, that can fuck off as well. What's this? Is it the end of the world if Hyun-Min doesn't play for South Korea in the Asian Games? I don't know if it is. It's the end of our world. Anyway.
It's killed it.
Yeah. Zeus says, while walking through a forest... Oh, here we go. Right. While walking through a forest, you get lost. Having not eaten all day, you're starving. Suddenly, you see a hot dog stand. The hot dog salesman tells you that there's only two hot dogs. And one is up his anus. But he's... but he won't say which one. One was up his anus, but you won't say which one. Do you roll the dice and have one? Why would he tell you? Why would he tell you that? Just sit on a hot dog. No one needs to know.
He's just an honest hot dog vendor, you know?
Yeah. Slight problem.
He was bored. He's in the forest. He's bored.
There's nothing to do.
Yeah. There's nothing to do. No one about.
Slight problem here. I can see you're hungry. Clearly you're hungry. And I've only got two hot dogs. Very popular, tasty hot dogs I serve up. I got bored earlier. I've been in the forest, like you. I was bored and I shoved one of these hot dogs up my ass. Sorry about that. I thought it'd be better to tell you. And then I put them together. How hungry are you? 50-50. Yeah, just take it.
Roll the dice.
Roll the dice. That's what life's about, isn't it?
Yeah. Just get the sausage. Just give it a rub on your coat. You'll be all right.
Like an apple.
You'll be all right. Yeah. Like an apple. Exactly like an apple. Yeah, exactly. You'll be fine.
Yeah. There you go. Rico says, leave you playing a genius long game with boardroom decisions. Ange, the best new exciting manager in the league, the best defence and midfield in the league, and the club in the ascendancy and way, way ahead of everybody's expectations. Could our outlook seem any better, Ricky?
Well, we've just announced that F1 like go-karting track is going to be open soon as well. Like, everything is coming up.
When's that open?
Fuck knows. I've got an email
money,
through.
How much money can go-karting generate?
I deleted the emails. I don't even know.
I don't know,
get this out of my sight.
Have you ever been go-karting?
I've got to go for my boy's 14th birthday and we're going. It's horrendous. You come away with it feeling like you've been battered.
Yeah, I went once when I was on a lad's holiday in Tenerife and we all went with our tops off. and we were going around, like you're saying, being battered, and I'd never been before. And because it was the leather seat, hot, being battered, I got off and everyone had like fucking big boils on their back from fucking being thrown around. It's horrible.
Like rubbing against the leather.
Yeah,
against the plastic seats.
Yeah. Never been go-karting since.
No, it's shit.
But the outlook is looking delightful. Everything that you've just mentioned, really, man, like with how much revenue that we've got, Ange, and even the thing that I'm finding the most exciting and pleasing is the kind of org structure within the club that for our scouting network and people that are assigned different elements of talent spotting and how that we're using data that's leading to a lot of the players that we're looking at, our purchases, and we've gone back to, so when we had Conte, it was more he wanted the experience and the people that had already won trophies that could do a job, and we're going back to that. Let's go for the youngest, hottest prospects that we can get. And the potential there is amazing. And I think for me, that's the most exciting bit. And like the sky's the limit, man. I'm well excited.
The shift from where we were at the end of last season, where Stellini had been fired, or he might have been even still been there. You had a whole 8 months of Conte where it's complete chaos. Obviously, his best mate passed away. Then he was ill. Then he wasn't there. And then he suddenly turned up for the Champions League final. And then he's gone again. And then It felt like the entire club was rudderless. It felt like we didn't know what was going on. Paratici had just been sacked, in inverted commas, found guilty, 30-month global ban, can't operate in football. And you're looking around at Tottenham and you're like, this place is on fire. Like, how much... I looked at it and I was thinking, and this is when we was having the conversations, like, is Daniel Levy the guy? Is he the guy? Like, how... Do we need him... Do we need someone in who has a power share at the football club, who can run the football side of things, and Daniel Levy can just do commercial, whatever it might be? But there were serious and legitimate questions being asked of Daniel Levy, because it felt like we were completely and utterly rudderless. There didn't seem any direction. I was fucking fuming. I was like, what has happened? What has happened? Why is this all happened? I can't... It must be him. It must be that fucker. It must be him. To now, where you're thinking, he's all right.
It's so funny how kind of like fickle football fans are. Like, you know, towards the end of last summer, I was like beside myself with how it all finished with Tottenham. You know, a massive fireball, just fucking thinking, great, what have I got to be excited about now? And then we get Ange, a few more, you know, a dashing of play. Madison chose us over Newcastle. Hang on, Ricky.
No, that's just... I want to take you back to that bit mentally where you was. Where you went,
yeah.
I was like, what have I got to look forward to now? You know football's bad when you start looking at your family and appreciating them, don't you? Because, you know, you go, look, well, Spurs are fucked, but at least I've got this. Shit, I've got to really focus on what's important in life. And I look at my kids and like, shit, yes, I've got them. But what I want, well, I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to look at my kids and appreciate them. I want Spurs to take all of my appreciation, and they deserve none of that. It got to a point last year, Ricky was like, you leave you out? Yeah. And I might be.
That's right. It was. It got to that stage where I was like, really? I was like, I don't think Levy is the guy that can do this. And towards the end of last season, I'd sold a couple of my tickets, and I never do that because I just couldn't stomach going. And it was just that I'd really just come to the end of my tether with it. And then we're a few months into the new season, 10 games fucking not lost, on top of the league, everything is coming up Tottenham. Just a few months, of swing, and I'm just sucking myself off at every opportunity.
We're easy, man. We're so easy.
Yeah. We, you know, it's like when it's hard to escape an abusive partner sometimes. We're just willfully walking back into it because it could go tits up. It could go, and I'm sure it won't, right? It feels different this time because it feels different. Like the infrastructure and all things are coming home to roost, and some of the shit that Daniel Levy said about regulation and FFP, and it's going to become a massive part. We're seeing it play out. And you're like, well, fuck. Because that isn't an issue for us. We're one of the few clubs it isn't an issue for. And while it was frustrating having to sit and grin and bear, maybe if he was right, and it's still an if because we don't know yet because things change, if he was right about all of that and now he's ready to invest, what might Tottenham become? And whether or not that happens at the moment is almost irrelevant. The hope is a beautiful place to sit in. And you know, it's the hope that kills you, Tottenham, but it's also what we are. It's what we are.
This is a bargaining stage of denial. That's what we're doing right now. So, you know, we said all these things are coming together. It's all going to work out. But I cast my mind back to all or nothing. This is meant to be the series that really pushed our club. And, you know, we're showing Steve Hitchin. He just looked so out of his depth as our... I don't know what his role was.
Do you remember Steve Hitchin?
So we have him. He looks like he just hated his job. We had probably our most... fondly remembered manager in recent memory getting a sack mid-season, and then COVID happens. It's just like the worst possible season, all televised, all shown to the general public. I mean, can you imagine if you had all or nothing this season? It'd just be like amazing. But that season was like, oh my God. And then you had last season where I think Ricky, myself, and Bob Leespook and a couple of others were just week after week, ticket exchange, give tickets away, didn't even care. And now to miss a game is like, you feel a bit bad to miss a game. Obviously, life gets in the way, but you just can't wait for the next game. I mean, we didn't have any game last weekend, for example, and actually felt a little bit downcast about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because normally Spurs are like, oh, our Spurs didn't let me down. And we had that period where we just didn't score for like, well, we didn't win for like four or five games. But now it's like, it's like we're back again. We're back in there, and this fucking club, man, it's gonna kill me.
It's something that we're looking at Manchester City as good as they are at home. Like, who knows what might happen? But right now, we're in this situation. We're like, we could do them. We can do these at home. And we're not being deluded when we think that. Like, it's going to be difficult. They are excellent, and they've returned to the form that saw them champions last year. But I feel like we can do them, even if we don't. I don't think my optimism for the future is going to be dented in any way. And that's a wonderful, wonderful position to be in as a football fan. Like, we have to go and do it then, right? We have to go. If my estimations of how good we can be under Postecoglou, given the support he seems to be being given, what he can do, my optimism knows no bounds currently, but it doesn't. That's yet to be proven, and we can't fast forward to the future. But right now, we've been playing half this season with half a team. That's not a joke. We went to Old Trafford with half a team and dicked them.
And we've got a manager who believes in us. I feel like, I'm probably going to say this every single week now, but I feel like Pochettino was like, yeah, we're just happy to be up there and compete. Angela's like, fuck this, we can beat anyone. And the players seem to believe it as well. And I don't think there's a bigger example of that than Maddison. You know, he just doesn't give a fuck. He'll have that big dick energy for any team. And, you know, hopefully he'll stay fit for the remainder of the season, playing more big games, because against the Arsenal, he was mustard. So can't wait for him to face the other big clubs and see what he does as well.
He has this elevated swagger about him, Maddison, that isn't arrogance, it's a confidence. And he has that wearing a Spurs shirt. It's hard for me to articulate what I mean. There was like,
I know what you mean.
With Kane, there was this laser focus, like every kick mattered and everything needed to be right. And he's going to do everything he can in order to score as many goals and lead the team. And that has value in it. But he almost looked like there was this sense of resigned failure about Spurs throughout his tenureship, which is not his tenureship, but throughout his career at Spurs, that it was never quite going to happen. And it's mental that it seems to be happening at Bayern Munich as well at the moment. Yeah. But it isn't really anything to do with him. Where has he seen tense throughout his entire career at Spurs? Maddison just seems like he's floating on a cloud. And I don't think
he's
about
to play for Spurs, I feel. I feel that.
And he just seems like there's this. He's seen enough, and I might be reading into this, and I like to create these little narratives in my head, whether or not they're true or not. But he seems like he's just completely comfortable with what's happening and knows something. He's going to be a part of something that's fucking great. I don't know.
Maybe even at the darts, he was giving it back. Even at the fucking darts. Remember that, Flav?
Fucking Spurs. He's so Spurs.
Just so Tottenham. So fucking Tottenham.
Fucking Spurs, isn't he? Maddie Spurs says, how mental was it actually interviewing Sandro? The Sandro. I can't imagine it. What a guy. Do you know what? Because he's so sound, it was really comfortable really quickly. When someone asks you a question and calls you by your name, you immediately relax. So we started talking before we were recording, and it made it super comfortable. It was lovely. He's a lovely, lovely man. So come and join us on the 5th of February, where we're doing an evening with Sandro. There'll be opportunities for photographs. We're going to do, bring your questions, ask anything you want to Sandro. If there's something you want to say during the evening, just stick your hand up and we'll come to you. It's not this sort of stuffy thing where we... it's just question and answers. It's going to be very relaxed, and we'll have a good time, have a drink together, and get photos with him, all that stuff. It'd be good. You can find tickets on our website, thefightingcock.co.uk, and we'll see you on the 5th. We're moving towards a world where tickets are starting to get limited. It was lovely. It was a great podcast as well. Go back and listen to that. Janice Costa Rasmussen, he says, I think you should start handing out exclusive Fighting Cop prizes for the best questions, with the top reward being carp fishing with Ricky. We'll be well up for that.
I think Zeus has a monopoly on that, though. That's a problem.
I want to go carp fishing with Ricky. That'd be lovely.
We'll do it this summer. We'll do it this summer.
Well, we say that. We never do it, Rick. We've been saying that for about 20 years.
Don't
yeah, it, I didn't have any gear then. I've got it all now.
What kind of gear? What are we talking?
Well, I've got a lot of course fishing it, not specific carp, but this is where we can go down the river, have a little cast out, you know, in the sun, have a few beers.
What, a couple of rub?
A couple of chub? A couple of mushies.
Ooh.
Chub, yeah.
Chub,
yeah,
couple of chub.
Know. Oh, mate. Oh, another fucking chub.
I thought you got a chub.
I did, but it's a baby. Ah. Little baby chub.
What's an adult chub weigh?
They can go up to, I'd probably say, like 8 pounds.
8 pounds?
Yeah, sizable.
Eight bags of sugar.
Yeah, mate.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So a full blood. So hang on, that chub you showed me, that was like the size of a hand.
Tiny. I know, that's what I was excited I caught it, but they fucking go bigger.
All right, so how difficult is it to catch an 8 pound chub?
I mean, that'd be fucking hard, but we can get some like 3 or 4 pound chub. No problem.
I'd happily see a baby chub, really.
Yeah, oh, mate, it's so much fun.
Just for the record here, let's draw a line on the chub chat. But are adult why are chub more difficult to catch than your more mainstream fish in a river?
I think it's because they're in the river and you need to know where they knock about, really. So you can't, if you just went to any part of a river and cast out, you've got to understand where they
Rick,
where they're chilling.
Final question about chub. If we went to fishing and I've never been fishing and I caught an 8 pound chub on my first go, would you be fuming?
No, mate, I'd be so fucking buzzing. I'd be so excited. So excited. Chub have massive mouths as well. Fucking, they're great fish. Bloody brilliant.
Gary Spurs 18 says, tell your mate James Alcott to stop trying to get Big Ange to United. He needs to have a word. Flav. I've had about 40 people message me about James's video.
He's doing what?
He's saying.
Yeah, the image.
Yeah, he used a thumbnail with Ange to United, but he's saying that's the kind of profile of manager that Man United need now. I don't think he actually said Manchester United should go and get, because they couldn't, right? So. But can I just, this is an appeal to anyone listening to this who sent me a message saying, tell your mate Jim to shut up. I wasn't aware of his video. You made me aware of his video by messaging me saying, tell James to sort of, you know, stop talking about Postecoglou. I can't do anything about it. He's not going to listen to me. He's his own man. All right. Loco Moro. He says, we have seen Dier leave Bayern Munich. He's leave to Bayern Munich, and the treatment he got from some fans, Johnson has really switched off some social media platforms, and Ndombele continues to receive abuse despite starting to get Galatasaray career back on track. Do you think that Spurs fans are overly critical of our own players or club? And is this unhealthy? Capri Sun on the Beach follows up with, most of it, in my opinion, is the angst that comes with not having on-pitch success or silverware and the banter that opens us up. We look for scapegoats and then present themselves far too conveniently as a target. Just very unhealthy, and we forget that we're not just machines. We unleash onto the pitch to execute flawlessly. That's a good point. It's football. It's always been this way. I'm not saying it's healthy, but this is what fans are like.
I don't think we're the exception. I think every single fan is going to be annoyed when their players don't perform. I think as well that the kind of landscape has changed, where social media brings every weakness on a team to the forefront, and everyone is desperate to score points on social against their rivals, against whoever it might be. So that pain of when someone doesn't perform, or doesn't, you know, we could have scored in the last minute, but they didn't cross the ball and they had a shot or whatever. It magnifies that frustration and anger that you have. And you're well within your rights to express your opinion and frustration and stuff like that. But I think drawing a line under, you cross a line when you're tagging a player where they could potentially see it. And personally, I don't believe in that. Well, they get paid 200 grand a week, they should be able to take it. They're fucking human beings, man. And they are not going to perform at the level we want them to perform because you're wishing that they fucking die or something like that. Like, why at them? Like, why do you need them to see it? They know when they go into the changing room and look in the mirror that they didn't have a good game. They'll know when their manager and their tactician or whatever it is will say, you left your guy here. Look at this video. We need to work on this in training. We need to do... They're going to fucking know. They're going to be feeling like shit if they didn't perform. So you don't really need to at them and make them realise that they were shit. And it's totally fine, as I said, to vent your frustrations and that. I just think it's a bit cunty, really, if I'm honest. So...
There's ways of doing it. Like, if you're a grown man and you're aiming abuse at professional footballers on the internet, you need to have a look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
You need to have a look at yourself. Because people do read this shit and it does impact you. You do have when you're getting attacked on Twitter, I get stuff for doing a podcast, right? Not from Spurs fans, less so from Spurs fans, but when I say something bad about Everton, which I did a couple of weeks ago, still getting grief. I didn't even say anything that bad. I just said maybe deserve the fine if you broke the rules, well, not the 10 points. And that was like apparently a terrible thing to say. But as a footballer who's under enough a huge amount of pressure that is paid accordingly, but bearing in mind that these are players that can do something that only 0.1% of professional footballers can. If you imagine the amount of them that exist, maybe 1% of footballers can play at the level of Premier League footballers. So they're playing with that pressure. Maybe smaller. So they're playing with that pressure, and on top of that, they're getting abuse. It's just, it's fine. I understand it. It's a part of the game. But it's been that way for a long, long time. Long, long time.
And as I've said, the internet's not real life. You go to the games, they're not getting abused when they play. Eric Dyer came on, I think there was an injury to one of the defenders or something.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he wasn't getting abused in the game. Brennan Johnson, same again, when he plays, there's no abuse, it's just on the internet. So if you're chronically online and you're seeing all this stuff, obviously you're going to say people are being negative, but you know, footballers aren't playing to the best of their abilities or they can do better, then it's just, sadly, it's part and parcel. And you know, it just is what it is. It's not worth upsetting yourself about what other people say about footballers. It just is what it is.
Rabbi on Twitter says, how long has the term happy clapper been about? Who invented it? And what's wrong with being a happy clapper? Been about for a while.
We should dial in Spooky here.
Yeah, he's the biggest happy clapper. Credit to Spooky as well.
Let's dial him in.
Perpetually just, he's never shifts from his position of being relatively well measured in, let's just see how this plays out before we all lose our heads type mentality. Like, he does deserve credit for that.
Yeah.
But that restraint in panicking and being reactive isn't extended to, you know, when he's on Twitter. The amount of arguments or conversations that bloke has about fucking Levy or planning or it's unreal. It's unbelievable.
He's got time.
I know. He loves it. I think it's much better, healthy place to be in than happy clapping. I think some critics of that would say that, you know, you're the reason why the club doesn't move forward. But the reality is both the happy clapper and the critic of happy clappers should realise that really whether the club moves forward or not is nothing to do with what you say or do on Twitter. It's different levels now. Once upon a time, it would have been massive. The opinion of fan bases, it seems less and less important now, or less and less relevant to the clubs. Let's end on this. I know we've got a couple for 10 more minutes. Actually, let's. Morgan Medjay. He says, last night when our weekly pub quiz, one of the questions was, name the four presidents carved on Mount Rushmore. One, can you name them?
They're English, so no.
Are they?
Was Washington? We're English.
Oh, right. We're English. They're English. I was like, oh, I know. No, I don't know. But he said, what would be our four Mount Rushmore players at Tottenham? I mean, obviously, we'd have to go back to the 60s. So let's just say in a Premier League era, just to make it more relevant and more discussion based in there.
Okay.
So Kane goes in there.
Yeah.
Is Bale on there?
I would have Bale on there personally.
Yeah.
Sonny on there?
Yeah, who?
Heung-min Son? Son's on there.
Yeah. Fucking T, what? T's like been reluctant to put Son on there and.
No, I wasn't.
You reckon
no,
who
wasn't.
Would you want on there? Fucking Tirico.
You fucking hesitated there.
Reluctant.
You fucking hesitated. Fuck's sake, T. What the sound did he make? What sound did he make, Ricky?
Oh, look, I can see his face grimacing.
You know what? Like a pinched arsehole in your face.
You know what happened? You know what happened? Because it's the Premier League era. My mind always says Hod or Gaz, but then I realise they're not Premier League era. So those three are nailed on. And I guess the fourth would have to be Ledley.
Not having it.
So who are you going to have then? Sol Campbell.
Who's your Premier League lot? Then
that is his Premier League. The three we agreed, but you just made that.
The three, Ledley King. And Ledley King, that's my four.
Could you say that Alderweireld or Vertonghen contributed more than King did to the Premier League era?
I think Vertonghen, in terms of how Spursy he is, like he loves the club, I think Vertonghen and King is probably a shootout.
I think King's got to get in there.
A controversial one is Robbie. Robbie Keane is a controversial one, but before he led to Liverpool, he was really loved. I think that move kind of harmed his legacy a lot, but he was quite a popular player.
For sure. He's not getting on there for that Liverpool.
Yeah, fuck him. Move. What about Lloris, though? He's a club captain for 10 years.
I think the way it ended.
I mean, how many players we got? Four?
Yeah, four.
Four.
So Ledley King's a bone of contention, Kane, so we need to replace him.
Son and Bale. King?
I feel we're missing someone very obvious that we're going to get caned for.
I mean, Modric, Dembele.
Madison could. I know it's early for Madison, but I think if he carries on, if he plays four or five years
for us.
Yeah.
I'm happy. The thing is, the fourth one is the way the conversation piece, isn't it? Because I would say Vertonghen done more than King, but King is iconic and was played in a team that was a lot. Well, we were shits back then, weren't they? And he was like hard guiding, like he's a one club man for that one club. Yeah, all right.
Ambassador as well of the club. He's everywhere.
Gets paid for that, not doing that out of the goodness of his heart. Gets paid for it.
Yeah, I know, but he's still like.
What a guy, ambassador of a club. No, I'm not saying he ain't. I ain't saying he ain't. Gets paid though, Rick.
You fucking hating on King.
No way.
That's what I'm hearing.
No way.
You are hating on him.
I ain't.
You're calling him a mercenary. He's only there for the money. That's what you're saying.
I am not saying
fucking
that.
Fucking disgusting.
That's outrageous. Disgusting. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. It's not like he's doing it for charity, is it? So Mount Rushmore is of Tottenham players. I've got is King. It's Bale, it's Son, it's Kane. Yep. Now, I want your chaotic Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, well, personal ones. I think personal would be funny.
We'd have to agree on them, like the madness of it. So Berbatov is on there.
I liked him. So
he smoked.
I didn't know what kind of madness. I didn't know what
to... It's hard to quantify. It doesn't make sense, but it kind of does.
Aaron Lennon?
Timothy Atuba.
No, that's too niche. He's got to be good.
He had a wand on him.
He's fucking. He was shit.
A broken wand.
We're saying Berbatov, okay. Hossam Ghali.
Aaron Lennon is my one.
All right. In terms of who we like, then who would you want fondly remembered? Rushmore.
I really did love Van der Vaart.
Oh God, yeah, him. Eric Dier.
I'm not having
against
him
against Arsenal. No,
still not having him.
Shush. What is it with our players? All like every time we score against Arsenal, shush.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey, you lot, shush. And they don't seem to do it against us because it would be quite annoying.
They'd get their face smashed in. That's why
Son does it as well. Shh.
Yeah,
like Sonny's the most lovely person in the world.
Shit. Dele Alli?
Yeah, Dele Alli.
Oh, yeah.
Dele Alli's there. Dele Alli, Van der Vaart. Who else have we got?
Berbatov was the first one, wasn't
it? Berbadog. And
Ginola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's his birthday today as well.
Ginola. Ginola.
Did you send him a card?
Yeah, I got lost in the post. Shame, really. It was, you know, got a thing called Footballers of Tits. It's one of those.
Yeah, I love
with
that.
His face on it.
seen that bloke on Twitter who sent it to Colton Cole.
He didn't know what the fuck it was.
Why would you? Like, basically, be Colton Cole in this moment, right? So people don't know. Yeah. Footballers with Tits are these animated drawings of footballers, but they've got women's tits. And Colton Cole has no knowledge of this at all. And some bloke on Twitter has a printed mug that exists in real life of a picture of him as a cartoon with a pair of massive women's lils. And someone's tweeted him, and he's like, what the fuck? Is the correct response to that? That's crazy. It's mental. If you don't know about it, it's mental. Lee Fletcher says, is Flav banned from Saturday Social after swearing on live TV? I didn't swear. What happened was, I haven't spoken to you boys about this. So obviously it's live TV, so they're going, don't swear, don't swear, don't swear. And I'm like, yeah, I swear, am I? Why would I swear? Because obviously I guess fuck does take up a quite a big portion of my, vocabulary. Anyway, I was speaking and two words merged together. I can't remember what the words were that apparently sounded like a fuck, but I didn't. And they apologized for me live on air. And I'm like, did I swear? I don't think I sweared. But we're live on telly and there's like a million people watching this. Fuck, if I sweared, that's it. I'm never coming back. But as it turned out, it was just two words that merged together. And so I was okay with it. But they had to apologize just in case.
Brilliant.
Someone swore on a Saturday Kitchen morning live on Saturday.
Was it the woman? Did they? What's the word?
Yeah, I think shit. And who's that actor? Is it Alan Cumming? Is that his name?
Dougie Allen.
Yeah, and it's like 11 o'clock in the morning, let out a little shit bomb, and you just see it in his face. It's like, for fuck's sake, I know exactly what I've done. And you can hear, like, sorry if you've heard any bad language. We're all adults. Fuck it,
this
man.
This is my point.
Grow up. Like, grow up.
There's a difference of kind. There's a difference between the kind of swearing you might hear on this podcast, which at times can be gratuitous, and I appreciate it's not for everyone's taste. Like, I get it, and if you don't like it, it's fine. Like, no, you know, there's millions of podcasts that don't do that. So I get it. I understand. People don't want to hear it. If it slips out at 11 a.m. in the morning, no kid is going to turn in some drug-addled prostitute because they've heard shit at 11 a.m. on Saturday Kitchen. Just wind it. If that makes you complain, you're the problem.
Yeah.
I think.
It's an accident. Yeah, accidents happen.
It's only a little shit, isn't it? Chiller. It's a shit.
Yeah.
In Danish TV, they've got a child's cartoon character where he has a cock that does everything for him. Like cooking, he cooks with his cock. I'm not lying.
Wow.
He dresses up in red and white, which just makes sense. Dresses up in red and white, and his cock does everything for him.
Jesus.
And that's for kids. And look at the Danish nation. Fine, I think.
I don't know. Have you met Mark?
Yeah, he's not really Danish, though. Look at him. Hang on, I'm trying to find it. Character. And people can go, what are you talking about? That's him. His name is John Dillon. Dillamand, John Dillamand, Danish children's cartoon about a man with a giant penis.
That's where we need to get to. We just need to be more relaxed about
Say these words. I'm looking at a picture right now of John Dillingham, who I just mentioned. He's wearing a red and white costume, and his cock is pouring petrol on a barbecue to cook steak. That's what I'm looking at. Child's TV program.
Right. Good.
So if a little shit comes out every now and then, it's not the end of the world, is it?
No.
All right. One more question and then we're done for the day. What will it be? What will it be? Who knows? Okay.
Let's go.
Pollen 16 says, if you had to pick between two, which signing would you prefer to be last in the January window. Nusa, who will be loaned back to Bruges and joined in the summer, or Conor Gallagher, who would jump right in at Spurs. You only had to pick one. I don't know what it is, and I don't know why. I started to kind of back out a bit on the Gallagher thing. I don't know, and I can't. I was well in, but I'm starting to take a. I'm going, oh, I'm not sure if it is right. And maybe I'm listening because Nusa, everyone's talking about Nusa like he's like the new Neymar. I want the new Neymar at Spurs. I want to see that. I just want to see that. Even if it fails, I want to see a little bit of it. Whereas Conor Gallagher is like plodding. He probably isn't that, but do you know what I mean? Has he even played in the last couple of Chelsea games? Go on, sorry, T.
I'm not even sure, but it could be a Scott Parker type signing. We signed him at the time. There wasn't much fanfare. Then when he started playing, it was like, oh, okay, now we see what all the fuss is about. Yeah. But I'd rather have a dribbly footballer like Nusa. That's kind of what we're missing. We're missing someone who, well, I would say he makes the seats go up when he plays, but we're all seated now, all standing now. So, but yeah, I'd rather have a dribbly footballer than a midfielder.
So you're saying sign Nusa and send him back? Nusa and send
him
back?
Yeah.
I'm well buzzing about him, and honestly, again, like all of these transfers, I've never heard of him. But and why he's in the Belgium league, but people are like everyone's saying to me, it's so exciting, and it does sway you, right, Rick?
And it's what we need.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching YouTube highlights of him earlier, and I was like, this kid is mustard.
It's the speed at which he changes direction with the ball at pace is what's the most exciting for me. He turns a 90 degree angles. It's just...
And he's proper bow-footed as well. So you just don't know where he's going to go. Where is he going to go?
I don't know. Is he going to go
down?
Is he going to down the line?
I know.
Is he going to go cut inside?
I don't know. Who knows?
Is he going to play it back? Give himself some space.
And is there Udogi as well on that side? It's even better.
Because we don't know. What's Udogi doing? He doesn't even know most of the time. He's just running through creating spaces.
Sprinting through Forrest Gump straight through the pitch. That's it, he's gone.
And they're gonna go, what did you think of that goal? I don't know. Did you see it? I haven't got an idea. Just happened.
Can never wait.
It just keeps happening. I was watching it, I was like, fuck, what? Well, where's he gone? Bang, goal. All right, this has been the Fight Cop Podcast. Thank you very much, Rick. Thank you very much, T.
And cheers, Flav. Before you end. Mm-hmm. I forgot about the Fraud Watch level, right?
Right.
So, could apologise to all my fans. So, Fraud Watch level out of 10, right? It's currently a 2. Out of 10. Currently a 2.
For Postecoglou.
Yeah, when we get all our players back and we're smashing everyone, it'll be a 1. It can't be 0.
No, hang on a minute.
We're counting it's 2.
You can't call it Fraud Watch if he's not being in any way a fraud.
Well, you know, if he's got everyone back and
is this Fraud Watch going to work like this? When things start to go slightly wrong for him, that he's going to go up the fraud level?
That's slightly leave you out, isn't it? You know, when you start doing shit, you know, I return.
Okay, all right. As long as I know,
it's tongue in cheek. Everyone's tongue in cheek. We love Antipasticogni, but it's just funny here being a fraud.
It is. Right, boys. If anyone wants to hear a preview for the Manchester City game, we're going to be recording tomorrow morning on Patreon, patreon.com/fightingcock. And we'll be doing a 5 statements, a review on Saturday of the City game. And if you don't want to subscribe to Patreon, that's fine. Then join us on Monday for the main Fighting Cock pod when we're back. Cool. Up the Spurs.
Ah.
Cheers, lads.
Network.